more or less,
Bobby said. Your mother is family, too. Mary glared at him.
I'll cut you a deal if it'll make you feel better. Let me get you out of here. Let me save Kate's head from being cut open. In return, I'll call my mother. Deal?
Kate and Bobby exchanged a glance. Deal. Mary dug into her tunic and produced a swatch of cloth, which she shook out.
Smart shroud,
Bobby said.
Is there room for two in there?
Mary was grinning.
I was hoping you'd say that. Come on, let's get out of here.
Hiram's security guards, alerted by a routine worm cam monitor, arrived 10 minutes later. The apartment, brightly lit, was empty. The guards began to squabble over who would have to tell Hiram and take the blame, and then fell silent as they realized he was, or would be, watching anyhow. Book 3. The Light of Other Days. Oft in the stilly night, ere slumber's chain has bound me, fond memory brings the light of other days around me. Thomas Moore, 1779 to 1852. 23. The Floodlit Stage. Rome, A.D. 2041. Holding Heather's hand, David was walking through the dense, swarming heart of the city. The night sky above, layered with smog, looked as orange as the clouds of Titan. Even this late Rome was crowded with sightseers. Many, like Heather, were walking around with mind's eye headbands or glasses and gloves. 4 years after the first mass-market release of the worm cam, it had become a fashionable and alluring pastime to become a time tourist at many of the world's ancient sites, wandering through deep layers of past. David had determined he must try the scuba tour of sunken Venice before he left Italy. Alluring? Yes. And David understood why. The past had become a comfortable and familiar place, its exploration a safe, synthetic adventure, the perfect place to avert the eyes from the blank, meteoric wall that terminated the future. How ironic, thought David, that a world denied its future was suddenly granted its past. And escape was tempting, from a world where even the transformed present was a strange and disturbing place. Almost everybody now wore a worm cam of some kind, generally the wristwatch-sized, miniaturized version powered by squeezed vacuum technology. The personal worm cam was a link to the rest of mankind, to the glories and horrors of the past, and, not least, a useful gadget for looking around the next corner. And everybody was reshaped by the worm cam's relentless glare. People didn't even dress the way they used to. Some of the older people, here in Rome's crowded streets, still wore clothing that would have been recognizable, even fashionable, a few years before. Some tourist types, in fact, walked around defiantly dressed in loud t-shirts and shorts just as they had for decades. One woman was wearing a shirt with a gaudy, flashing message. Hey, up there in the future, get your grandmom out of here. But many more people had covered up, wearing seamless one-piece coveralls that buttoned high on the neck, and with long sleeves and trouser legs that terminated in sewn-on gloves and boots. There were even some examples of all-over cover styles imported from the Islamic world, shapeless smocks and tunics that trailed along the ground, headpieces hiding all but the eyes, which were uniformly staring and wary. Others had reacted quite differently. Here was a nudist couple, two men, hand in hand, wearing slack, middle-aged bellies over shrunken genitalia, with defiant pride. But, cautious or defiant, the older folk, among whom David reluctantly counted himself, displayed a continual, uncomfortable awareness of the worm cam's unblinking gaze. The young, growing up with the worm cam, were different. Many of the young went simply naked, save for practical items like purses and sandals, but they seemed to David to have none of the shyness or self-consciousness of their elders, as if they were making a choice about what to wear based simply on practicality or a desire to display personality rather than any modesty or taboo. One group of youngsters wore masks that showed projections of the broad face of a young man. Girls and boys alike wore the face, and it displayed a range of conditions and emotions, rain-lashed, sun-drenched, bearded and clean-shaven, laughing and crying, even sleeping, that seemed to have nothing to do with the activities of the wearers. It was disconcerting to watch, like seeing a group of clones wandering through the Rome night.